This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Well, in our second half of the program, we are going to talk with the Chief Operating Officer of Aerobotics. And they're going to talk about artificial intelligence with farming. They've got a presentation coming up here before too long in Wenatchee. So we'll talk about some high tech and ag coming up shortly. But right now we need to get to our third and final conversation with the candidates for mayor in Chelan. And we have the mayor, the incumbent Mike Cooney, on the line from Chelan. And I asked for a little bit of a weather report before we got going. A little choppy up on the lake today, Mayor?
Just a touch. It's calmed down a little bit, but it's just a beautiful day in Chelan.
Well, appreciate you joining us by phone today. Seeking another term, I guess, how would you assess your time in office so far on the job?
Excuse me. What I would say is I think there are physical things that we could talk about and you would see around town. I am a project-oriented type person, always have been. But there are some abstract things that I feel very good about in my first term, and that's building relationships with other agencies, such as the Port District, the county commissioners, the PUD, just simple things as working with our staff, working with the 40-some employees that we have in the different departments. And those are things that go unseen, but I think I would get high marks from each of them. I would say things have progressed. I think there's a little different feel as far as maybe a little positive leadership doesn't hurt, and I think I've given that, and I'll continue to do that.
So let's talk about, obviously, you feel that there's plenty more work to do. What are going to be your priorities if you're elected to another term? We're, again, with Mike Cooney, mayor of Chelan, running for another term on the August 6th primary. So there's three names. Two will move on. What will be some priorities in the next term? And we've talked before about one of them, preserving Chelan Butte, and I know you have others.
Yes. Yeah, Dave, these would be, first and foremost, is we're working on building affordable homes in town by way of our community land trust. We've worked with several people to form a very strong board. It's the Chelan Valley Housing Trust. And the gist of it, Dave, is to get land donated and get capital donated so that we can build homes for first-time home buyers, people that are not able, no matter how much they work, how many jobs they work, or how hard they work, $475,000 an average median home price, and the average median household income is $48,000. It's too high of a leap for people to jump. So we're trying to build attainable homes by getting land donated, and if we can do that, we get the cost of a home can be reduced by a third. So we're hoping in spring to build our first 17 homes. They're going to be priced right around $250 to $275. They'll be about 1,200 square feet. So that's one. And first and foremost is to get these homes built. And why would you ask, is that number one? It's to keep our middle class in our town. Too many people commute. We have about 40% of the people that work in Chelan commute elsewhere to their home. I'd like to see them stay. Too many families are moving out of the area, and I'd like to be mayor of a town that has different stratas of income. A diverse community is a strong community, and I'd like to see homes built so that people that own shops or businesses or people that would want to locate their business to Chelan would have a strong housing base. So that's first and foremost. The Butte is high on my priority list, and the reason why is it's a great recreation center. If we can buy it from the private individual that wants to sell it, and I'm not saying that the city will be the lone person pursuing to pay for it. I'm not saying that we're going to do it by way of taxes or property taxes. What I am saying is we are getting good feelers coming back to us as far as major funders that will buy private land and put it into public land. And I love the idea of a conservation easement, and I'll tell you why. If you look out our back door, or you look out our front door at the shop, or at our house, we look at the Butte, and the Butte is such a beautiful, iconic, almost it's almost too good to be true that it's not developed yet. And I don't want to see, and a lot of people don't want to see it developed. A lot of people, the high percentage of people in our town, don't want to see it get developed. There's been two failed goes of it, of 1,000 homes on there with a couple of golf courses, and it would just, I would cringe. And unfortunately, I think it will take some type of a threat of development on that, on the Butte, to get people coalesced around financing it. But I'm going to go working with funders to help us. So, and that's high on my thing. I will say, this doesn't seem like it's a big thing, but there's about 4 or 5 street endings that end in the lake, and we're working to recover them for people to be able to have a small little mini park to get to ride their bike to or to jog to. Working on a very good solution for the Three Fingers is a high priority of mine. And I think progress is being made there. I know progress is being made there. So I guess the other a really important thing to me is for our city to look at how do we become, it's an overused and a very tired word, but how do we become more sustainable for future generations? And I put a lot of stock into that.
We're talking with Mike Cooney, the mayor of Chelan, seeking re-election, and two opponents that we've already talked to in interviews have both criticized the decision to go one way on the bridge into town there. And since that's come under your watch, I don't know if you want to defend that.
Sure.
Mostly it's centered around, obviously, the traffic revisions that's required. So maybe your thoughts on that.
Yeah, fair enough. I do think that it's been talked about. It had been talked about long enough, and had been kicked down the road long enough. And both of those individuals had plenty and ample opportunities to voice opposition, as others do. Once it got done, then people came out and voiced their displeasure with it. And Dave, I totally get why people are upset with it. I could use an example of, we have a roundabout that was built outside of town heading towards Manson. So much angst over that for some months. So I'm going to ask people in Chelan to have patience, that we started working 3 years ago with traffic consultants to figure out how to, once we one-wayed the bridge, the second part of it, and I wish it was done sooner, but it's not, is to get the intersections, and I could name off 3 of them really quick, that there would be a fix, and the state is helping us. They've given us $300,000. The city's putting in $300,000, and that's for one intersection to get fixed. And we are looking to go back to the state legislators to ask for help on other intersections. So we know that these intersections, 3 years ago, we're getting close to failing scores. So I don't see the bridge as being all by itself the one and only thing. It doesn't stand alone in my mind. The bridge needed restoring, so it's now restored. It's a functional passageway. It is a city street that has for many years handled a lot of non-city traffic, and I think the taxpayers of Chelan deserve a safe street. It's now, if you were to come up and walk it, there's far more people walking both sidewalks, And if you were to take the bridge by itself and that there was no other future plans of fixing other intersections to move traffic through, I get it. We would not have moved forward on the bridge if there was not plan B and C to fix those intersections. So we're hard at work on those right now. And you know what? I think leaders need to take a stand, listen. We had many workshops. We had over a dozen town hall meetings, city council meetings, workshops. And after all of that, I think leadership begs decision-making. So that's what I did. That's what I've done on a number of things while being mayor.
We're talking with Mike Cooney, who's running for re-election as mayor of Chelan. What about trying to maintain whatever semblance of community feel with obviously the tourism draw that Chelan is? Obviously, I used to live in Chelan. However, I have to admit that was from 1983 to about 1985. Lots has changed. It's a wonderful place for certainly West Siders to come visit. But down here in Wenatchee, we like to come up there and visit as well. But how do you balance the tourism draw and still maintain a great quality of life?
Well, it's a great question. There seems to be an accumulated wealth or a lot more capital on the west side. With rising values over there, there's a lot of baby boomers that are wanting to retire to small rural communities, and Chelan seems to be on that list of communities. It is such a cool town, has a great feel to it. We are working hard. I'm very, very proactive working with our planning department. I'm at the planning department, in the planning department, working with everything from whether people come in with their pre-applications for development. I'm working with our planning director. Our planning director and myself are on the same page as far as how to have responsible development. Through the comp plan that we completed last year, took almost a full year to do. We put in stronger development standards, and there's a whole list of them, so people cannot come in and scrape off hillsides and build housing development and then leave the valley. Another thing, Dave, that we've done is we've banned short-term rentals in existing neighborhoods. That's a thing to keep Chelan the small town feel. Building affordable or attainable homes is a thing that I really want to keep the missing middle that a lot of people refer to in our town. I would not enjoy being mayor of a town that has a bunch of haves and then have-nots. I just don't see that being a healthy, and it's happened in so many other tourist towns. We've done our learning from other towns, and so we're trying to get ahead of that. So I think it's just being an involved mayor and showing that you care and you're going to kind of, you can't tell people exactly what to do with their property. You can't tell people they can't develop, but you sure can work with the developer to say, this is what we want from you and the development to help our town stay Chelan. So I'd love to see our hillsides stay, the beautiful green hillsides. By the way, they still are green, which is great. And so the small town feel is important. It's why we moved here. It's why many people have moved here. And I do find that a lot of people that have moved here actually turn around and help volunteer in some capacity to make our town stronger.
Well, Mike, what is the best way for people to follow your campaign? Ballots are arriving in mailboxes as we speak, and two names have to be selected to move on to the general election for this fall. What's the best way to follow the Mike Cooney campaign for mayor?
Just follow me around. The best way to follow it is I'm going to put my phone number out there. so people can call me and ask me any questions at any time. And it's 509-393-9652. Totally available. I went out and spoke to a neighborhood group last night. If any neighborhoods in Chelan want to form a small party or whatever, I'll be there. I'll address any issues. We own a coffee shop downtown in Chelan, the Vogue, and people can come there and ask me. I'm either there or at City Hall. And people tend to stop in City Hall and ask me a lot of questions. I would like to finish this with just one quick thing, is that I, Chelan, I think, in my opinion, and please, Wenatchee folks, take it for how I'm saying it, Chelan is the coolest town around. Being mayor is at the probably, not probably, it is the best level of politics. No intention of ever doing anything but that. And so, therefore, I'm going for the best job in the state.
Well, we appreciate your time, and we'll be talking to the top two candidates, and we'll see how it all shakes out here with the August 6th primary. Thank you, Mayor. Well,
thanks for your time, Dave.
All righty. That's Mayor Bye-bye. Mike Cooney seeking re-election. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Tim Willis, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Aerobotics, it's going to be a great conversation, so stick with us as we get to that conversation next on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
12:35 now. Thanks for joining us on The Agenda here. And in our second half hour, we are joined all the way from what sounds like a gorgeous place, Sebring, Florida. Tim Willis on the line with us. He is the Chief Operating Officer of Aerobotics. And Aerobotics sounds pretty cool. I think it's an interesting company, and they're going to be presenting interesting presentation here in Wenatchee here before too long. Tim, thank you for joining us, and tell us, what is Aerobotics?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. Great to be on the show. Aerobotics is a company that uses aerial imagery from drones, as well as artificial intelligence, to protect tree crops from pest and disease. So effectively what we do is we capture the drone imagery, we process it through our system. We are able to identify every single individual tree, and then we maintain statistics for the grower on those trees over time and point the grower in the direction of trees that are under the most stress or under stress that, where the grower needs to get out and help, sort out a problem in his orchard.
So literally, you're able to get such a high definition image that you can just get it right down to the problem with an individual tree.
Exactly. So our resolution is about 1 inch, and we are looking at individual leaves on the trees from our imagery, and we've captured over 33 million trees around the world, and what that means is that we are very accurate in terms of finding individual trees and then also providing the grower with details on whether those trees are under stress or not and how healthy they are.
Is the drone flying, you say the resolution is to within an inch, is it flying real low at a real low elevation or is it actually pretty high up? How does that all work?
So the drone is flying at about 400 feet. So it's pretty high up, although not as high as something like a plane. We're doing about 50 acres every 20 minutes. So every 20 minutes, we're capturing about 50 acres of data, and that data then gets uploaded to our system and processed through our system, and we then are able to identify each individual tree.
That is amazing that you can get that kind of resolution from that elevation. Wow, just incredible. Before we go a little bit further, I got a lot more questions. So you're going to have a presentation here in Wenatchee. When is it? How can people get signed up? And then I want to jump back in with a whole bunch more questions because I find this fascinating. And my family is in the wheat business, but when is this event coming up here in Wenatchee?
Yeah, so we're looking to speak to as many tree crop growers. So I know that there are a lot of apples in that part of the world, as well as vineyard owners. So our technology works on both vines and on tree crops. And we're looking to speak to these growers and really inform them about our technology on Tuesday. So Tuesday at 10 o'clock at the country club, that's where we'll be.
Wenatchee Golf and Country Club. Okay. So how you can cover a lot of ground, a lot of acreage, and get this amazing detail right down to the tree with a resolution to within an inch. How does that save time for a grower? I would think it would, in terms of being able to get so much detail and a lot of information in a much quicker time than they otherwise could.
Yes. So the main purpose of our system is helping growers better understand their orchards as if every tree was in their backyard. So effectively, like growers who are growing hundreds of acres, it's very difficult to get out and inspect every single tree. But with our system, you're able to identify just those trees that are under stress. We have a smartphone application, which is similar to Google Maps, your farm, which you're able to actually go to the most stressed trees and treat them immediately. So it's really a time-saving measure because growers are in a better position to make more informed decisions. And when they are in the orchards, they're spending their time more wisely. I think what's also very exciting is the work we're doing around yield. So we are starting to help growers better understand their yield, which we know is like a huge pain point for every grower, to get a better understanding of that over time.
What other sorts of for growers, whether they're in vine crops or tree crops, this AI and farming and digital applications like this, what else that they might not be thinking about can they learn about when they come to the presentation next week?
Yeah, so we have some great partners on board. Who are helping us doing our road show. So the name for the road show is Trees and Tech. So we're really focusing on the tree crop grower and the vineyard grower. And so we have partners such as Farmers Business Network, Harvestport, MicroSense, who build the cameras, SenseFly, who build fixed-wing drones, which is very exciting. And all of our partners are really involved in the content that the growers are exposed to at any of our events. So I think what's exciting is that the growers don't just come and learn about our product, but they learn about a number of different products. And I think the focus on tree crop growers is really important. I think all too often, growers are all lumped together and the row crop guys get a lot of the limelight. And so we're really trying to focus this on tree crop growers and vineyard growers.
Interesting. So how did Aerobotics get founded or started? How did the whole company get going?
Good question. So the company was founded by our CEO, James Patterson, and a CTO, Benji Meltzer. They were classmates in Cape Town in South Africa in their engineering degree. James went on to study astro and aeronautics at MIT in Boston, and Benji studied neuroscience at Imperial London. And once they got back from their master's degree, they really decided to start a business that they both wanted to do. They didn't want to get real jobs. They wanted to create their own. And that was about 5 years ago today. And I suppose, as I say, the rest is history. We've now processed over 33 million trees around the world. We're active in 18 countries. Our head office is in Los Angeles. And so we've really been able to grow with what were quite simple ideas to start, and take them to the next level.
And how long have you been with the company, Tim?
I've been there about 2 years now.
So you're pretty pumped about this? Pretty excited?
This is definitely the most exciting thing that Airobotics has ever done. I think taking our technology to growers across the United States is something that's critical to not just our growers, but like the development of this type of technology for growers around the world. The United States is the biggest commercial farming market in the world, and so getting growers here on board and excited about this technology is really important. Every time we add a tree to our database, we provide a stronger service to our growers. So the more growers who use our services, the smarter our artificial intelligence becomes, and the better the results for each grower.
So, and obviously because of our tree fruit industry here, that's why you picked Wenatchee. I'm just catching on here, obviously. Have you done this anywhere else in Washington State? After all, we grow the best apples right around here.
Exactly. We want to be, come and start in where the best apples are grown. At the moment, we're focusing on Wenatchee. So we have quite a close partnership with the PMA, so they will also be there, the Produce Marketing Association. So taking a strong lead from them. Our roadshow has consisted of seven events. This is our last one in Washington. We've had four in California, one in Georgia, one in Florida today, and the last one next week, Tuesday, in Washington.
Now, are you going to be coming here, Tim, to the Wenatchee tour?
I will be on the ground with our CEO and our Chief Commercial Officer and Head of the U.S. We will be in Wenatchee, and we're really excited to meet as many growers as possible.
So, I didn't mean to cut you off. So how do you book for this event? How do you get signed up?
The easiest way to find us is to go onto Facebook and type in Airobotics USA. You'll find our Facebook group and you'll find links to all of our events. This specific event is under Trees and Tech, Wenatchee. And you can book tickets on there. Tickets are free, we have a lunch planned for all the growers who attend.
Okay, so Airobotics is AEROBOTICS. Airobotics is easy to find there on Facebook, and this sounds pretty, pretty gee whiz, if you're kind of old school, but this is really the future, isn't it, Tim?
Yes, exactly. And I'd encourage all growers, to really go onto our website, so aerobotics.com, and draw up their farm and start to interact with the software. You can really start to, get some results on your farm, get some information, and that will really get enhanced once you buy one of our drone packages, which you can learn more about at our event on Tuesday.
So what kinds of diseases can you really detect any sort of disease and pest problem with Airobotics?
So the way the technology works is that we use both a visual camera as well as a multispectral camera, and a multispectral camera captures five layers of light that we can't see with our own eyes, and plants reflect all of these different layers of light. A very unhealthy plant reflects certain layers of light that start to make it look more unhealthy, and more healthy plants, reflect other layers. So basically what we're doing is we're looking at these different layers of light coming off the camera, and we're able to determine health. The common framework is NDVI, the Natural Vegetative Index. And so if you use NDVI, we have a number of layers that are similar to that, and that's how we determine health. And then obviously we use photogrammetry to reconstruct the volume, height, and area of each tree.
Interesting. And again, as you've also pointed out, you're also helping growers with with a focus on yield as well. So, when we come back after the break, we'll again remind how you can get signed up for this free program. It's going to be next Tuesday. We're talking with Tim Willis, who's the chief operating officer of Aerobotics, and their tour comes to Wenatchee next Tuesday. Very fascinating stuff. They can fly over an orchard or a vineyard at several hundred feet elevation, but have resolution right down to almost an inch of that detail on a leaf on your tree, and provide you a wealth of information, really help your operation. And we'll come back in just a minute or two here and, again, help you get information on while you want to be there next Tuesday at the Wenatchee Golf and Country Club. Right back with Tim Willis on The Agenda on KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Alrighty, back in our final moments with Tim Willis, Chief Operating Officer of Aerobotics. They literally can use digital scanning of your orchard or your vineyard and give you a wealth of information. What do we call this field of this AI in farming? What's the field popularly known as, Tim?
Yeah, I think it's known as ag tech, and then also aerial imagery and artificial intelligence.
So if you have a farming operation, tree fruit industry, and you have a vineyard, they're bringing their aerobotics tour to the Wenatchee Golf and Country Club next Tuesday. They literally can fly over your orchard and tell you all kinds of information about what's going on with the health of your orchard, help you with yield. And you'll need to be there next Tuesday to learn more about this amazing service. So the easiest way to get signed up, how do we do that, Tim?
You go to the Aerobotics USA Facebook page, and you will be able to find each of the events. It's the Trees and Tech Wenatchee event that you can get tickets to. Tickets are free. It's at 10 a.m. next week, Tuesday, at the Wenatchee Country Club.
Fascinating stuff. We appreciate kind of explaining this for some of us lay people that aren't necessarily in the industry. You didn't get too techie on us, but I think it's fascinating to see how drones are being used now in so many different ways, and very fascinating to hear how it's helping out in ways to help our ag industry, because our whole economy around here is based on that. So interesting stuff. Tim, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it. Have safe travels here to the Wenatchee area for the presentation next Tuesday. Appreciate it.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on.